Hello, it's Sunday. The sun is streaming through the windows into our studio here. It is the most gorgeous day. So why am I sitting on my own in the studio recording a podcast? Well, it's World Cup. England are playing, and frankly, I cannot deal with the stress. So today, funnily enough, we're going to be talking about the psychology of the competitive. Hello, I'm Paul Wilkinson from MasteringPortraitPhotography.com. It's Sunday, as I've said. I'm on my own. I'm not good with competitions, if I'm honest. The village is silent. You can hear a pin drop out on the roads around Haddon at the moment, except for the various screaming from people's lounges and living rooms as England score goals. It's quite funny to hear because, it really is quiet, and then suddenly a house will erupt. And then one house in our street must be watching it on slight delay. Maybe they went and made a cup of tea before they watched the game. And that's just set them back about 3 minutes from everybody else. And so I hear a cheer erupt. And then about 3 minutes later, I hear just one solitary household going, yay! It's very funny to listen to. As always, a summary of our week. I hope you guys are well. I hope you've had a good one. It's been a nice week for it. The weather has been good. And this next week, now to you who are listening from hotter climes, and I see our stats, a lot of you listen in America, of course, you'll be listening with bewilderment as to how come I talk so much about the weather. Well, this is Britain. And when we get a hot week, it will make the headlines on the papers. Trust me, next week, there'll be at least one newspaper heading that says hotter than Athens. It always does. Hotter than Athens. Yeah, for one day. Just one day. It doesn't make us climatically more, exotic than Greece. It just means for one day the temperature shot above the temperature in Athens or Tenerife or, Ibiza. You name it, that'll be the headline. However, it is lovely to be shooting in this kind of weather. Summary of the week thus far. So last Monday, as I alluded to in our previous podcast, myself and Sarah went and spent a day with my mentor. Now, I've spoken over and over and over about the importance of having a mentor or a coach. Think about it. Every sportsman you can imagine has a coach. Some of them will have several, depending on different facets of the game. They may also have psychologists as well around them that help them with their mind over matter, the psychology, picturing the win and all of that kind of thing. Every business book that you pick up tells you to have a mentor or a business coach, someone who can help you with some experience. They've been there, they've seen it, they've got the scars, and it's really important. And yet, as photographers, I meet so many who either don't want or don't manage to find a mentor. Now, I'm blessed. 10 years ago, I met Kevin Wilson, and we have been mates ever since. He is still my mentor, even though I've got my fellowships, I've got competition wins. You know, we're pretty experienced in the business, and we mentor others. But I still need someone who will give me a cold, hard opinion on whatever it is I'm doing. Now, on the business side of it, Kevin's not my business mentor. Kevin is like a creative mentor to me. He's the person that looks at my images and helps me improve them. Occasionally, he tells me I'm doing it right. More often, he tells me where I'm doing it. I nearly said wrong. That's not fair. He encourages me to try different things and develop in different ways. Very, very occasionally, he tells me it's rubbish and it breaks my heart. I hate it when that happens, but it does happen. And you go and visit your mentor with that in mind. You know that that could be the case. Anyway, I spent the day with him, and what we were trying to do was tune part of my portfolio for competitions. Because on Tuesday evening, it was the Master Photographers Association. Trouble is, I have such a problem now. Because we've got Mastering Portrait Photography and I'm a fellow of the Master Photographers Association, I keep switching the titles. It's causing me no end of grief. I do apologise if I get it wrong. But the MPA, it was the MPA Central Region, which is a pretty big region over here. It stretches from Swindon all the way up to Peterborough. Has some of the best photographers in the UK, at least in my opinion, in it. There's some phenomenal talented in this region, and I am privileged and proud to be amongst this group of creatives. It's great. Of course, though, when the regional competition comes up, It's terrifying because you're competing against some names, not only who are big names in the business, but they're the names who I admire. They are people who I just think their work is wonderful. You know, there's David McDonald, we've got Hosmer Darvey, we've got David Calvert, Andy Griffin, Alex Lord. I mean, the list goes on and on, and forgive me for all the other names I haven't mentioned, but every year, Ian Boisha, you know, there are images that come up that I just think their photography is to die for. And to compete with these guys is one of the scariest things I do. And that's why I was spending some time with my mentor, is going through my portfolio, figuring out with the judge. Now, we knew the judge in advance was going to be James Musselwhite, another phenomenal photographer. You should look at his black and white work. Go and look at his sequence of shots on wrestlers. They are just sublime. An amazing body of work, an amazing guy. And I will talk about it a little later, but one of the best image critiques I've ever sat and watched. That's why I was down anyway with my mentor on Monday. We went through the portfolio and he picked out what he believed to be images that showed enough about them in the lighting, the composition, the posing, the narrative. I didn't do prints at that stage. I was going to bring them home and do the printing. I'd actually trusted myself to be able to print these things up pretty well. But it was a great day and I learned an awful lot, actually. I learned a lot about what I believe to be a good image and what someone looking at them cold might believe to be a good image. And those are different things. So when I look at an image, I see or I recall the shoot. I see my client. I remember the experience. And I will elevate an image that I enjoyed creating to a height that it probably doesn't deserve in the cold light of day. And equally, I may deflate certain images if I had to work harder for them, or I believe they were a grab shot maybe, and I won't see the beauty in them. And it was great. It was a lovely day. Spent time with Kevin and his lovely wife, Julie, going through all of the images, and came away with quite a lot of work to do for Tuesday. So Monday night, I didn't sleep. And I mean, I didn't sleep. I sat in the studio and I worked my way through this list of images one by one by one, printing each one, checking it, labeling it, putting it into its folder. And I did that all the way through the night until Tuesday, when Sarah grabbed the prints out of my sweaty palms and drove them over to where the entries were being collated. She didn't trust me to drive. I was too tired. So she did it. Anyway, we're going to come back to the competitions in a bit. After Tuesday, it was a very successful day, in case you're curious, but I will talk about it in a moment. On Wednesday, we recorded the A-roll, we recorded the piece to camera for another video, the video we recorded last week in Oxford. I've seen the rough cut of that edit now, and it's going to look fantastic. We're really pleased with the way that's coming on. And eventually, for those of you who are members of masteringportraitphotography.com, you'll get to see this video, and we're really looking forward to getting your feedback to see if we're going in the right direction and developing a style that is both informative but really easy to watch. So Wednesday evening, after I'd finished recording, hopped into a car with the guys from the Hearing Dogs and went up to stay in York for a day, where I was to create images for them on Thursday. So we met a family, beautiful family, just fantastic. They are a mum and dad and two twin girls and a boy, and she is deaf. She went deaf later in life. I say later in life. She went deaf in her 30s, I think. So I say later in life, but she wasn't born that way. And has now got a hearing dog who has completely transformed her and her family's life. And my job was to capture some of that joy, capture some of that change that this beautiful dog has made to their lives. Tons of portraits of them laughing, pillow fight. Of course, you've got to have the obligatory pillow fight. If you've got three kids in a room and a camera, what are you going to do? Pillow fight, which was brilliant fun. And just the nicest people. They made me laugh from beginning to end of the day. Then back home, it's our son, Jake. Jake had his last GCSE of the year. It was done. He's done. It's finished. All of the stress, all of the strain, the sun has come out and Jake is a different person. So on Thursday night, having not had a lot of sleep this week, drove all the way back down from York and then straight back onto the train into Oxford to take him out for dinner. So we went out for some drinks, soft drinks for Jake, poor Jake, but me and Sarah needed the alcohol, all right? We've been supporting him through his revision and we needed the alcohol. Jake, sadly, wasn't allowed any alcohol. But we did have a most marvellous meal in The Alchemist. It was great. Friday and Saturday, two back-to-back weddings. We don't do back-to-back weddings if I can avoid them, but these were two amazing clients, and so there was no way I was going to say no. Just wonderful, both of them. Both weddings, vibrant and funny and full of laughter. Just the most phenomenal thing to photograph. Both venues were great, the couples were great, the families were great, and the weather was simply sublime. One interesting comment that came out actually off the wedding yesterday is my bride, as I was leaving, to say, I'd said goodbye, and I'd taken all of these pictures and I cross-checked it with the bride, and I said, obviously said goodbye, and she said she just had to tell me that when I arrived in her room, I was the one thing that made her calm. She said she was really stressed, really nervous, and as I walked in, she just felt calm. And I laughed because I hadn't taken any pictures. I had literally just stood in the middle of the room surveying the scene. There wasn't an awful lot to photograph. She wasn't quite at the right point in the makeup to be photographed yet. There wasn't enough going on really to... I got a camera out and took a couple of pictures, but I was just biding my time. But we were just chatting. We were chatting about what was going to happen. We were chatting about, you know, the kinds of emotions I've seen people go through. We're chatting about the fact that it's all under control. There's nothing to worry about. Obviously, we don't do lots of weddings. We limit it at 20 weddings a year. Or we try to limit it to 20 weddings a year anyway. And so it's not hundreds. I'm not a high volume wedding photographer, but I've done enough weddings over the years to be able to identify the different stages and the different bits of emotions. And I just talked them through, and she found it really, really helpful, and it just calmed her down. I thought that was the nicest thing you can be told as a wedding supplier, that not only have you done your job, but you've added something to their day too. And in this particular instance, the thing I'd added the most, and she said a few other things which are lovely too, but this one particular thing stuck, which is that my presence in the room had really helped calm her down. And that is an important trick as a portrait photographer and as a wedding photographer, your ability to take the stress out of the situation and turn that moment into really beautiful, relaxed photographs. Don't ignore the psychology of just being friendly and calm and letting you take up all of the stress. It's a useful device. And then today actually, I've been gardening. It's been lovely. I've taken some time out, which is really, really nice. I've come back into the studio now to record this podcast and to move some files around because my desk, as usual, have filled up. It's a nightmare. Constant battle to keep the main hard drives empty as we're shooting and post-processing, and I've got jobs in the queue that haven't yet been signed off. You know how it is. And so I've had to come in and do a little bit of that. And actually, with the football, I can't watch the football. All right. I just can't. I'm too competitive. I'm way too competitive. I get properly stressed. I get properly nervous. I start shouting things at the TV. This is the same reason I was banned from taking our son Jake to football when he used to play, because I used to just scream from the touchline. I didn't mean to. It wasn't deliberate. I'm just really competitive. And so I have to kind of take myself away. So it's been lovely today. I can hear that the match is going on. I can get the updates on my phone, but I do not need to be sitting in front of a television with my heart rate clattering out the top, stressing and shouting and just not really enjoying it. So if that's how I feel about football, how come I still do photographic competitions, I hear you ask. Well, I can't hear you ask, obviously, but, you know, I'm imagining you ask. I'm imagining you're asking, Paul, given you don't like sitting in front of something as urbane as a football match, how come you put yourself through the stresses and strains of photographic competitions? And it's true. I hate it. I hate myself in them because I'm too competitive. I hate the way it makes me feel. I hate the paranoia that goes with it. I hate the process. But I know it's something that I benefit from. It's good for me. I like the idea of somebody having a look at the images and baselining. I like the idea that I'm going to sit down and really concentrate on an image that's going to be entered for competition. You concentrate on images for competitions in a completely different way. So once you've got the image on the camera, in a normal shoot, once you've got the image on a camera, that's kind of it. You don't look for the tiniest of details. And I'm pretty pedantic, but I will leave certain things alone, flyaway hairs, blown highlights if I don't feel that they're really a problem. All of those kind of things. I don't worry too much about it. In competition work, every tiny detail counts. And I mean counts. Marks are being deducted based on your inability to see your own image defects, whatever they may be. And also with the printing side of it, they've got to be printed to the absolute utmost quality you can manage. These are print competitions that I'm talking about here. So the judge is going to look at a finished print. That's what he's critiquing. And it's a really useful exercise for me to firstly go through the process of culling images. Partly I've done it, then partly I've done it with my mentor. And all of the time, it's not just a case of culling. I want to know why. I want to know why an image is no good or why an image is good. To a judge, remember, not necessarily to a client. On the whole, images that sell to clients are cheerful and happy. Images that do well in competitions tend to be a little bit more enigmatic. They tend to be something that raises the emotions in the viewer. And by that, I simply mean they tend to look more miserable. Take a look at competition results. How many miserable children do you see in the top 10? You'll see a lot. How many clients buy those? Very few. If you want to sell images, make them happy, energetic, you can do poignant. That's lovely too. And I do have clients who buy specifically the more serious images. But on the whole, a parent, a grandparent or a relative is going to want to see their loved one looking happy. Competitions are anything but that. Judges tend to want to see something that is striking, that engages them, that holds their attention. And on the whole, great eye contact and a serious, engaged expression will do that more than anything else. So I love that process of going through it, of culling and selecting. Then I love the process of the post-production because, again, the detail is critical. Every little tiny dot, every little scar, every little misplaced light switch, blown highlights, blocked up blacks, you name it, you've got to pay attention to it. And you've got to really, really pay attention to it. And I enjoy that process. It's not easy and it's massively time consuming. But at the end of it, I know that image will be the best that I can produce on that day. And then the printing side of it as well. I mean, we print nearly all of our work. We don't do it in-house. It's all sent out of house. But just preparing the files for print, and for the competition work, I do print here. I print them on our printer downstairs. It's an Epson 3880. It's got the ultrachrome inks on it. It's a wonderful printer, particularly on fine art papers. I know I've talked about in previous things about be careful of printing on matte papers. Trust me, I'm incredibly careful of printing on matte papers. But when you get it right, the rewards are huge. And I really enjoy doing it because it reminds me of all of the things that I need to consider when I'm sending images out to be printed for the client. I go through all of the sharpening settings. I go through how I finish the image. I go through the color ranges. Everything is looked at. And then we have this box of beautiful prints that kind of disappear off to the competition. And then there's the competition itself. And I hate it. I am so nervous. I sit at the back of the room. I've always sat at the back of the room and I take notes. And one thing I've always said to people about print competitions, at least print competitions where the judge is going to critique the work. Now, that's quite a distinction. Not competitions, where you send them away and you never hear anything if you don't win. Not those competitions. They're good if you win, but they're next to useless if you don't. They are a PR exercise and nothing more. Okay? They are because you want something in the marketing. That's it. They're great, but do not be fooled by the idea you learn something from doing those. You don't, because you never get to hear what the judges thought of your images. But competitions where the judge is going to stand at the front of the room, bring up each image, critique it in front of you, much as that runs the risk of breaking your heart. And trust me, I've had my heart broken a lot. But they're going to go through everything they see and everything they think. And it's a really useful exercise. So I sit at the back of the room with my notepad and pencil, and I write notes on every image of mine that comes up, and also on any image that I really love from another photographer. I think, oh, that's amazing. And then I listen to the critique about why the judge loved it too, and I piece it together. And I write those notes down because it helps me to remember the things I should be considering every day in my job. Now, I haven't done this for a while. I was chair of the MPA for a period of time, and recently I've also been one of their judges, which means that I haven't really been in a position to compete. Now, the reason I've kept so many notes from when I'm judging what I hear other judges say is a replacement of actually competing. But this year I've asked, at least from the MPA, I've asked for a year when I'm not judging for a moment. And so I really want to enter the competitions again just to test myself out, just to see if I've remembered everything I'm supposed to. Because the other byproduct of entering competitions is that I now have a great big box full of the most beautiful images that I can create. And those will go up onto our website. They'll be used for PR. They'll be used for marketing. And Sarah and the team know that they can use those images and they are finished to the highest possible standard. And that is really important too. So anyway, I sit at the back of the room and I watch these images come up. I take notes. And on the images I've done well, obviously I still take notes of to why. And then on the images that I haven't done so well, the images that quite frankly just didn't come up to standard, I take notes on that too. And it's just wonderful. And I admit this year we've done pretty well. I came back with quite a haul actually of awards and I'm very proud of it. I wasn't expecting to. I was expecting maybe one or two. There are a couple of images in there that I really did think would do well. And in fact, one of those didn't get anywhere at all. And one of those did do very well. It's funny, isn't it? How when you look at your own images, it's almost impossible to guess what the judge will think. And that's the very point. You know, even as a judge, I'm part of a series of judges. There's quite a lot of judges around and I'm one of them. And you'd expect if judges entered competitions, they'd always win. And yet we don't. You know, you look at all of the other judges, they don't either. They have a pretty good track record, but picking out and finishing your own images and then putting them in front of another judge, it doesn't yield the results you expect all the time, quite rightly, because photography is subjective. It's about art. You're trying to judge them objectively, but at the end of the day, when you look at your own images in particular, you're biased. And so actually, I really enjoy parts of the process of entering competitions. I hate parts of the process of entering competitions, but at the end of this one, I've had a pretty good haul, and I'm now very much looking forward to taking these images on to the nationals. The deadlines of which are in a few weeks' time. I, of course, will keep you posted. One footnote on this, I get told this quite a lot, is that people are a bit too nervous to enter a competition. They're not confident in their work. And all I would say is, particularly with the MPA and the regional side of it, is it cost £3 to enter an image. That £3 was an opportunity for a really amazing judge to have a look at one of my images and in admittedly a very brief summary, give me his views on it. Where else for £3 a go can you get a great photographer to critique your images? All right, £3 a go, that's all it is, £3. And it's also anonymous, unless you win. If you win, the whole world knows. If you don't win, nobody knows. So why does it matter whether you're nervous or not? Just enter them, as I've done. I've just entered some stuff, tested the water, some stuff failed, some stuff, luckily for me, did very well. I know that on a different day with a different judge and different competing photographers, I may not have done so well. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But what I do know is that each of those £3 was really well spent. I got to learn something, just a little bit of something, about each and every image that I submitted. And on top of that, I learnt a lot about images that other people had submitted. And all of that is really, really valuable. So at the end of all of that, why don't you go and find a mentor? Some are free, some will charge. But if you just approach a photographer whose work you like, you never know, they might just be willing to spend a little bit of time with you, just helping you shape your portfolio and get to grips with different aspects of your photography. And then why not enter a competition or two? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't have to tell anybody. All you have to do is pluck up the courage, get a handful of images together and enter them into either one of the regionals with one of the associations, whether it's the MPA, the SWPP or the BIPP or the Guild, any of them. Or alternatively, join a camera club because they also run fairly regular competitions where you'll have a judge and they will critique your images and give you a chance to hear a third party talk about them objectively or as objectively as you can. So until next time, remember, be kind to yourselves. Take care.